Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing.
Well, when we need help with our computer, we don't go straight to Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, or Bill Gates to help, do we? When Google isn't doing what we want it to do, then we don't, you know, give Larry Page or Sergey Brin a call and just say, can you help me out with that? They're the guys who founded Google. When Facebook's mucking up, do you contact Mark Zuckerberg and say, hey, can you sort it out for me? Something goes wrong with your car. Do you go straight to the head office of General Motors in Detroit in America or to Toyota in Japan? When TV shows are awful, maybe you should just go to James Packer or Kerry Stokes, the guys who own the stations. Or when the newspaper is wrong, well, actually, we don't go to Rupert Murdoch and ask for an explanation, do we? I take it we're not in the habit of calling the Prime Minister and asking for his personal help, partly because we're not sure who to call on any given day. But just call anyone in Parliament, and it's probably at some point he will be Prime Minister or she. But anyway, but why don't we ask these people for help? Why don't we talk to them for advice? I take it there are several reasons. Firstly, we actually can't. We don't have access to these people, do we? We wouldn't be able to make direct contact if we tried. We don't know how to reach them. Secondly, I take it that we maybe sometimes feel like we shouldn't, that maybe they've kind of got more important things to do and that our issues don't really kind of matter enough to bother them with. The Prime Minister, the CEO, they've kind of got more important things to do than what I'm worried about. Or it might be that we actually don't think they could do anything or that they would do anything. And that's, what's the point? Why bother contacting them? They're not going to actually solve my problems. Or we realise actually there are better places to go to for solutions. There are other options who can fix our problems rather than the Prime Minister or whoever. But I wonder really if the primary reason we don't go to those people, the thing that's stopping us from speaking to them and asking them for stuff, is that we don't know them. Because if we knew them, if we were friends with them and we were convinced that they cared for us and they loved us, if we knew that they were actually enormously interested in our lives and invested in our lives, in what's going on in our lives, then it'd be easy, wouldn't it? If we knew them, if we had relationship with them, to talk to them and ask them for something. And I take it it's like this with God and with prayer. Now, whether sometimes we think we can't ask God, or we don't think we should ask God, or we don't think anything will happen if we do ask God, we actually think there are better options. Either way, ultimately, I want to suggest that the reason people don't pray is because they don't know God. They don't know him relationally, personally, intimately, because if we really knew him and knew his love for us, and knew how invested he is in our lives and how concerned he is and how he sees us and he knows us. If we knew him, then we'd be praying all the time. If we really know God, then we will know how to pray, what to pray, why to pray. We'll love to come to God and talk to him and share with him our needs and ask him for the help that we require. And you see this in Jesus' teaching on prayer, the famous Lord's Prayer. And you know, when Jesus taught his disciples, he says, pray like this. I take it he's not saying, recite this prayer over and over again. It's a great prayer to pray. But he's not saying you have to use these exact words. He's saying pray in this way. Pray for these things. Pray to this God. Pray with this attitude. Pray like this. And so that's what we're going to be looking at over the next 4 weeks in depth. And today we're really looking at just the first line. So when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, first he says, we need to be different to the world. So verse 5, he says, you must not be like the hypocrites who pray for show, who pray to be seen by people and to impress people. Don't be like them. You know how there's a fakeness in our world? Well, people will just say things and do things that they think will impress people. And social media is kind of full of that stuff, but there's just kind of a fakeness where it's not real. And people aren't who they are. They're just doing, they're playing this game of to try and impress people. Don't be like that in prayer, says Jesus. Verse 7, he says, don't babble like the other religions do. They imagine that they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, says Jesus. As if prayer is a magical spell that you've got to cast just right. Or the longer your prayer, the more impressive your prayer, the more detailed your prayer, then the more likely God will be to give it to you. No, he says. Because verse 6, your Father sees you. He sees everything. Verse 8, your Father knows you. He knows the things you need before you even ask. You don't have to fake it with God. You don't need to perform for him or put on an appearance or play the game. You don't need to do anything in prayer other than come to him as you are. Because he sees you and he knows you and he knows your life and he knows your needs. He knows your pain and he knows your joy and he loves you. So pray like this, says Jesus. Once you know God, then you'll know how to pray and what to pray and why to pray. Pray like this. He says it there. It starts with this amazing truth, this deeply comforting reality that God is our Father. Even in these opening lines of the Lord's Prayer, we actually learn two massive truths about God. And as we learn these truths about God, we'll be reminded of two fundamental things about ourselves. So tonight we're looking at two truths about God, two truths about ourselves. But you see there in verse 9, he says, therefore you should pray like this, our Father in heaven. That's what you really need to know about God. This is the heart of prayer. God is our Father in heaven. God is relational. God is personal. God speaks to us and wants us to know him. God is our Father, which means he has authority over us because he is our source of life and our source of being. He's the one who made us. He's the one who protects us and provides for us. He's the one who gives us his promises. He's our Father. God is our Father who listens and who cares and who wants what's best for us. God is our Father who desires that we be blessed and that we grow and that we develop in this world that he has given us. Now, that's an amazing, mind-blowing privilege, isn't it? That's a gift that only Jesus can bring, that you can approach the God of the universe and call him confidently, intimately, Father. And that is precisely what Jesus has come to do, to make that possible. This is why Jesus gave up his life on the cross. This is why Jesus died for us. So that we can say, our Father in heaven. So that we can be rescued from sin and reconciled to God. So that we can have the confidence, the assurance, and the access to God that we can call him Father. The confidence that a little child has in holding out their arms and reaching out to their dad is the confidence we can have in praying to God. So as we come to prayer, prayer is talking to God in heaven, who is our Father. Prayer is asking God and depending on God as the one who is passionately the loving Father, the perfect Father, so deeply concerned for us and knows what's best for us that he sent his Son so that in him we could become his sons. so that we can belong to him and we can be united to him in perfect relationship forever. You know, in the Old Testament, Proverbs 15 verse 8 says this, "The prayer of the upright is God's delight." Hear that? God delights in prayer. He's our Father. And he's not like us. It's not a hassle for him to have us ask him for things all the time. It's not a nuisance. It's not a distraction. The prayers of his people are a delight. They're his joy, his pleasure. He loves it when we pray. He loves it when we come to him through Jesus. He loves it when we call him Father. And not only that, but because he is our Father in heaven, then he is perfectly able and powerful to answer our prayers. Again, he's not like earthly dads who forget or who weren't actually listening when you asked them for stuff, or they can't actually help, or they try and they bumble around and they actually make things worse. No, he rules heaven and he's our Father. Which leads to the second truth about God that Jesus reveals here. God is holy and glorious. So our Father in heaven, pray like this, our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Now traditional translations that we're more familiar with have hallowed be thy name. That gets a little bit confusing, partly because we don't really use the word hallowed anymore or know what it means. Partly because people end up thinking we're either saying hello to God or that God's name is Harold. Some people have misunderstood the Lord's Prayer to be, Harold, be thy name. Just letting you know, I'm going to now praise for some Harold. But no, it means holy. It means sacred, perfect, glorious, so gloriously different and distinct from us. That's who God is. That's what we need to remember as we come to him in prayer, that God, our Father, is so different and so far above anything in this world. He stands so far apart from the messiness and brokenness and evil of this world. He's holy. When we pray to God who is pure, who is perfect, who is glorious. But notice this isn't just a statement, is it? It's not just a description of the God we're praying to. When Jesus says pray like this, he says pray our Father in heaven, and the first thing to pray for, the first thing to ask for, the first thing on your lips, now that you have perfect access to God as a redeemed child and heir, this ought to be our deepest desire to pray, may your name be recognized as glorious. May your power and your love and your mercy and your faithfulness and gentleness be seen and known and honored and praised and loved. May you be known as the Holy One because you are our Father and we love you. You see, when we experience something awesome and beautiful and satisfying in life, it might be somewhere in the world that you've visited and you just think it's stunning. Or it might be a great book that you've read. Or an awesome piece of music that you heard. Or a fantastic movie you watched. Or this recipe that you made, this food, or the restaurant you went to. When you experience that, we want to share it, don't we? We want other people to experience how great that thing is. And if you like, we want this thing to get the recognition that it deserves because we love it so much. Even more so with God. See, when we know God, and I mean know him like intimately, have a personal relationship with him, not just, oh yeah, I've got some facts about God I can list out for you. When we know God and know how good God is and how loving and forgiving and powerful and holy he is, then we want him to be recognized as he is. We want people to experience him. We want people to taste his love and the freedom and the forgiveness that he offers. We want to share his name and share his greatness. So if we know God, then we will pray first and foremost that God would be known, that God would be honored, and God's name would be revered and loved. And that's why here at Northmead Anglican Churches, our motto is growing people passionate for Christ. That's our mission. Not growing people passionate for our church, or growing people passionate for stuff or things, or our greatest desire, which Jesus tells us to express in our prayers, is we want to grow people who know the name of Jesus Christ and so are passionate for Jesus Christ and are devoted to him and honor him and glorify him. That's our mission and that's our prayer. That's who we want to be, growing people passionate for Christ. May your name be honored as holy. So these two truths about God, that in Jesus he is our Father in heaven. And notice, even in that, Jesus says, pray our Father. That it's not just an individual relationship. We come to God as a community, as brothers and sisters, together. He's our Father. We share a Father. So we are united together. So God is our Father in heaven, and he is holy and perfect and glorious. Those two truths reveal two truths about us, and even more that we'll see over the next few weeks. Two truths that we express when we pray like this. Firstly, we exist for relationship with God. See, who are we? We are God's children. We're God's sons and daughters who will inherit God's blessing. And in Jesus, God created us and made us for relationship with him. And in Jesus, he has saved us and rescued us and redeemed us for relationship with him, to call him Father. We belong to him like children. And so as his children, we have this amazing relationship and this privilege and this status, this connectedness to God. And as his children, we ought to express our love for him as dependence and faith and obedience and loyalty. See, a father shows his love for his children by protecting them and by providing for them and by teaching them and nurturing them, encouraging them and correcting them. That's how a father shows his love for his children. And children show their love for their father by doing what he says, by trusting him and obeying him. So this is the first truth about us. We exist for relationship with God. We have this status as God's children, and so we ought to trust in him as our Father. One of the ultimate ways to express our trust is through prayer, by talking to God, relating to God, depending on God and asking him for what we need, rejoicing in his goodness and relying on him and his power for us to be who we need to be. So we exist for relationship with God. Second truth about us is we exist for him, and our desire ought to be for the glory of our King. See, if your father were the king, there'd be perks, I'm guessing. You get to live in the palace. You have access to the king whenever you want to. I suspect the food would be fantastic, and the clothes and the transport, and you get to, they'd be fun being the son or the daughter of the king. But still, as a son or a daughter, your desire ought to be to honor the rule and reign of your father. He, the king, doesn't exist to meet your needs. You are still there to honor the king, your father. So when Jesus says, pray like this, your name be honored as holy, one of the key ways this happens is in us and through us as God's people. Because we are called Christians, followers of Christ. We bear his name in the world. Your name be honored as holy, and we bear his name in the world. So let us be the ones who reveal and reflect the holiness of God's name, because we bear it. Do you know the third commandment in the Old Testament, you know, the Ten Commandments? The third commandment is, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And we often take that to mean, don't swear. Don't use God's name as a curse word. We sometimes call that blasphemy, don't we? You shouldn't do those things. But that's not what the third commandment is talking about. See, God's people, Israel, carried the name of God. El is the Hebrew word for God. Israel means something like may God prevail, or even struggles with God. But as God's people, they bore God's name in the world, and the third commandment is not to bear or carry God's name for no reason, in vain, for no effect, like it's empty. Don't live in God's world as God's people and bring God's name into dishonor. That's what he means, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't carry or bear his name for nothing. And so as Jesus teaches us to pray, your name be honored as holy, we're praying a few things at that point. We're praying that we would honor God as the Holy One, and that his name is perfect and glorious, and that he would be the number one top priority center of our lives. But we're also praying that our words and our actions and our lives as those who bear his name in this world would declare his holiness. That people could see the difference Jesus makes in the message of good news that we have to share and in the transformed lives that we have to live. Your name be honored as holy. We're the ones carrying his name. God, please make us godly and righteous and generous and loving and kind in this world so that the world, so that everyone would honor God's name as holy, so that everyone would see how glorious and spectacular God is. Can you see that there's so much in this prayer that we say the line and we think, yeah, that's the introductory bit, but there's actually a lot to it. When we pray, your name be honored as holy, that is actually what it's all about. It's why we gather together as church. It's why we hear God's word. It's why we pray. It's why we sing. It's why we do anything. So that his name would be honored as holy, so that people would know him and love him and glorify him in his message and in his people. This is a profound prayer, and we're only looking at line one here. And so the next 4 weeks, we're getting to really kind of dig deep into this. This is the reflection of our relationship with God, that he is our Father in heaven, that his name is to be honored as holy, and that we exist for relationship with him. That's why we're here, that we exist for his glory. When we get that right, then we'll understand the heart of prayer.